AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello, I'm Jim Cornell, and this is the WalkingPost.com podcast. WalkingPost.com is the news website dedicated to walking, with all the latest on festivals, trails, books, gear, destinations, and more. The podcast this week is airing on Friday, March the 28th, and that is Spring Forward weekend in the UK, and that means 1 hour less sleep. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to walk this weekend except around the supermarket due to the weather, but I did get some more reading done, this time in the name of research for the documentary series of videos that my son and I are planning for the Fife Coastal Path. I've been reading about Fife history, and it's a really special place. I did drive up there this week to do some interviews, and the scenery is breathtaking. I was filming in Newborough and Pittenweem. If you've never been to Fife, you should, and I'm not on commission from the tourist board. The long drives are also an excuse for me to catch up on listening to CDs that I've not got to yet. I did have a pile of about 400 unlistened to CDs, but now that's down to about 80. A big thank you to those who have already subscribed to the podcast and those who haven't, but have listened anyway. I had a terrible time last week trying to move the podcast over to a different email address on Apple Podcasts. It didn't really affect anything except my sanity with all the phone calls I had to make. I guess I should just be grateful that Apple has phone support, because so many places these days don't even have that. Hopefully you tuned in to the podcast last week when we talked about... Actually, what did we talk about? Oh yes, the Pennine Way 60th anniversary and the Cyprus Strollers Walking Group. This week, I'm not jealous of the walking because we have two places that I've been to. One a lot more than the other. More on that in a moment. Please do get in touch if you have guest or subject suggestions, or if you have news for us. You can reach out via walkingpost.com, or you can just email me, jim@walkingpost.com. There are no hyphens in Walking Post. As always, before we get to the interviews, let's go over some of the headlines of the news articles we had on walkingpost.com this past week. There is a new coastal trail being developed in Cape Breton, which is the northernmost part of Nova Scotia in Canada, and hopefully we will have an interview on that in the coming weeks. It's a place that I know very well, having lived there and written books about it. Hereford is offering free Nordic walking courses. Derbyshire's White Peak Loop has been officially launched. And the popular Puck's Glen hiking spot here in Scotland is going to be closed for the rest of the year due to storm damage. That's another great place. It's on the Cowell Peninsula, and it feels just like stepping back in time, with the gorges and the trees and dripping water, ferns, waterfalls. Definitely a magical place. Another one for the bucket list for you. We had an article about the top five forest escapes in Asia for nature lovers. The UK Outdoor Industry Award winners were announced, and the winners included Rab, Adidas, and OS Maps. And Birkenstock has opened a new London store. Bristol Walk Fest announced its grand finale event. More on that in the interviews. Hong Kong is promoting hiking to grow visitor numbers, and you can read all of these and more at walkingpost.com. Okay, now it is time for this week's interviews. When you think of walking festivals, you tend to think rural, but many cities have lots of walking opportunities, whether it's parks, art trails, riversides, old railway lines, and one city that has a lot to offer for walking is Bristol. And while lots of walking festivals are a weekend or just a few days, Bristol goes all in with an entire month of events. To tell us more from the Bristol Walkfest team is Jennifer Graham. All right, to get things started, I wonder if maybe you could fill us in on Bristol Walkfest.
Yeah, absolutely. So Bristol Walkfest is a month-long celebration of walking. Obviously, it takes place in Bristol. It's been going on since 2013. So it's a very long-standing event in the community now. Initially, it was launched by Bristol City Council's Walking for Health team. And back then in 2013, it was just a one-week long event with about 40 walks. But over the course of the last 12 years, the event has developed, and now we run a month-long walking festival that takes place throughout May. And this year we have around about 150 unique walks. So if you factor that up and include all the walks that take place on multiple days or every day of the month, we've got hundreds of walks taking place throughout May.
How did it evolve from a week to 4 weeks or a month, I guess?
So May is actually National Walking Month, which some of your listeners might know. And we kind of piggybacked onto that and worked with Living Streets to kind of develop this into a month-long event to coincide with their National Walking Month and really kind of get people walking and get them active and give them as much opportunity as possible throughout that month to take part in various walks that are happening. And we've seen over the last few years that there's definitely the appetite for it, which is really nice. So there are walks on every single day in May. They get lots of people coming along. Last year we had over 3,300 people take part in the month, which is brilliant. So yeah, as long as we get the participants, we put on this festival and just give people those opportunities to get walking in their city.
And how far and wide do the walks go? Are they all within Bristol or are some of them outside of Bristol?
Mostly they are within Bristol. We do have walks that do venture a bit further afield and they take in the beautiful countryside that we've got around Bristol, venturing into North Somerset in some cases. But the majority do take place within Bristol and are really easily accessible, whether that be right in the city centre or just a short bus ride outside of town.
Is it mostly locals that participate or do you get people from further afield?
It is mostly locals, but we do gather feedback at the end and we ask for people's postcodes so that we can kind of plot where people have come from and what the popularity of the event is a bit further afield. We do get people from outside of Bristol, but generally the majority of people that take part are locals. And it might be that they love walking already or they just want to explore their city a bit more and find out a bit about the history. Or wow, we have such a wide range of walks. There's so much for people who live in Bristol to discover brand new for the first time.
What's so good about Bristol as a place for walking?
I think for me it's the variety that we've got in Bristol. It's obviously a city, it's lively, it's busy. We've got the nice city centre walking routes. It's pretty flat in the city centre, so there's a lovely route around the harbour side that's about 5 kilometres. That's really scenic. You've obviously got the water there. You can look up to the coloured houses. But I also think it's very easy to get out of Bristol. And within a couple of kilometres, you can be outside in deep countryside. So there's that variety, which is really nice. We've got woodland, we've got fields, we've got hills. I just think, yeah, it has a bit of everything.
And I guess it also helps that you've got a city with a relatively large population for people to get involved as well, which probably helps you fill in a month of walks.
Exactly. We have so many different providers that join us to put on their walks during a walk fest. This year, we actually have 74 different walking providers, and there's a huge variety of them. They are local businesses, local charities, organisations. Some are really large, some are really small, just run by one person. So we've got variety in the providers, but also variety within the participants. Bristol is quite a young city. It's got two universities, but our walks are for everybody. So it's a really nice event to draw in everybody from all aspects of the community.
Could you tell me a little bit about the actual walks? I mean, the range of distances maybe, and whether they're for
everybody or children, dogs?
Yeah, so we set our walks out in different categories. So it's quite easy for people to find a walk that suits them. So this year we have five categories. We've got nature and wildlife, art, history and architecture, health and well-being, walking sports and walking for pleasure. So we've got a lot of different variety there. We also categorise the walks by the grade, so how difficult they are. They go from fairly easy to easy to moderate to challenging. So again, it's very easy to for people to find a walk that suits them. And obviously within that, there's all different distances. So we have some walks put on by Bristol Libraries and they're family story walks. So they're only a couple of hundred metres long, but they are designed for young children with their parents or carers. And then at the other end of the scale, we have a lot of walks put on by Bristol Ramblers, who are one of our key supporters. And their walks can be 10 miles out in the countryside, more challenging, uphills. So there's a lot of variety and there really is something for everybody. And we have walks for dogs. So we have a key in the programme. And looking at the key, you can see if the walk is suitable for families or for wheelchair users, if it has toilets, and if dogs on leads are welcome. So there's absolutely something for everybody.
Are there limits to the number of people per walk?
It depends on the provider. Some walks do have a limit. Generally, no, but it all depends on the provider. We've got some events that are more capped. So for instance, we have a walk leader training session put on by Bristol City Council, and they can only offer a certain number of places. But generally, the more the merrier.
And I know you mentioned those five categories. Are there themes within that, like history and nature?
Yes, lots of walks do focus on certain areas. We've got walks, for example, like wild edible plants, and we've got nature walks, we've got bat walks, early morning walks, a dawn chorus walk, we've got history walks, there's a walk about the Bristol riots, there's everything. Yeah, like I said before, there is so much variety.
Do you walk a lot in Bristol? I mean, do you go on some of these as well? Or?
Yeah, so I've been involved in Walkfest for the last couple of years, and it's been really nice to be aware of all of this and be able to go to some of the walks and learn things about the city that I hadn't noticed before. For instance, a couple of years ago, I went on a walk around Clifton Village, and I've lived in that area for a while. But on the walk, we just discovered things that I had never noticed before, like hidden gardens, hidden public gardens, and the site of an old quarry. Really interesting things that were on my doorstep that I had never thought about before. So it's a really nice way to learn more about your area.
Are there costs for walks, and do people have to book to go on them?
We try to keep 80% of the walks free. And generally, our providers are really good in that they do offer free walks. Some of them ask for a donation, but a lot of the providers do cut the costs completely for their walks. They might usually charge in the year, but for us during Walkfest, they offer the walk for free, which is really nice. We always aim to get 80% of the walks on offer for free, and the others that do charge are generally low cost or offer a discount for Walkfest participants. So the festival is really accessible. Some walks do require booking, and all that information is in the programme. So we have a printed programme that is distributed throughout Bristol in April. So by the time it comes around to May and the start of Walkfest, people have had a month to get their hands on the programme and plan what they want to do. We also have all of the events on our website. So there's a huge catalogue on there of all the events, and each individual event listing explains whether the event needs booking and how to do that.
Are there walks that are so popular that you have to have them year to year, or do you have to change it up so that people don't get bored with the same walks?
Really, we leave it up to our providers. So often we do see walks repeated year on year because we know they're popular and we know that people enjoy doing them. But then again, we do have brand new walks appearing year to year. So there's definitely the variety, and there's always going to be something new. So even if you're a Walkfest regular taking part in lots of different walks, you'll find something new to do every single year.
And are they throughout the day? So if somebody could maybe do 40 walks within those 31 days?
Yeah, absolutely. We have walks from first thing in the morning, like I mentioned, the dawn chorus walk, through to late at night, lunchtime walks, walks at all hours of the day. So depending on your work schedule and that sort of thing, you can always find a walk that would suit you.
And has the weather tended to be decent in the past?
Typically, yes. I would touch wood, but thinking back to the walks I've taken part in for Walkfest, we have had some nice sunny days. So I just crossed my fingers that May, again this year, see some nice sunny weather.
Do you start planning on the next one immediately after this one ends?
Typically, we have a little bit of a break and then we pick up the planning again, usually towards the end of the year. This year, we have finished our current cycle of funding from Bristol City Council. So that's a conversation we need to have. Obviously, we need to gain sponsorship and raise the funds to be able to put on the festival. We know that it's popular and we know that people like to do it. So that's a big job for us for the coming year, is to get those funds up and running again and make sure that our festival can continue.
And then I guess you have the grand finale at the end of the event. Could you tell me a little bit about that? Is it the first time you've done it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. So this year, as the grand finale for Bristol Walkfest, we are working with our friends at Good Miles, and they are putting on a mass participation walking event. So happily, the 31st of May falls on a Saturday, and they are putting on four different walks. So we've got 5, 10, 15 and 20 miles, and they are all fully supported, fully signposted mass participation events. So with the four distances, hopefully there's something for everybody. Castle Park in Bristol is the start and the finish of this event, and also the event village. So at Castle Park, there'll be a big hub where we can engage local providers to come and support the event. Lots of members of our steering group for Bristol Walkfest will come along, and it will just be a really nice community event to wrap up Bristol Walkfest. So we want to get as many participants involved as possible and get support from all of our walking providers. You know, we've got nearly 75 of them this year, so we know that there's interest there and lots of support. So it'll be a really nice way to bookmark the end of Bristol Walkfest and also start this new event in the city that hopefully can gain support from year to year and become a really big, thriving event.
How is that going to be organised? You mentioned the four different distances. Do they all start at the same time, or are they staggered so that people finish at the same time?
Yeah, there'll be staggered starts. So the idea is that people generally finish around the same time so that we can have a really big, buzzy, nice atmosphere in the event village at the end, and everybody can celebrate their achievements together.
What does that village look like or involve? Does it have kind of booths and food?
So we'll have support there from different walking providers. The idea is that they will have a little tent, have a space, they can talk to the participants, promote their different organisations. There should be some music and some food, just a nice little celebratory atmosphere in the park at the end of the day. We're really grateful that Good Miles are putting it on at the end of May to support Walkfest.
It's a great idea having all of those walks so that you can do as few or as many as you like. And I always find it's great, especially in a city, to feel like you're part of a community. And walkers are definitely a good community to be a part of. From the southwest, we're going to the southwest, only the southwest of Scotland, to a small and very picturesque market town, and that is Newton Stewart. It's just across the hills from where I live, at the south of the Galloway Forest, whereas I'm just on the northern part. There's a single track road between the two, which either has no one on it, or it has tons of cars, and none of the drivers know how to use passing places. The very first time I ever drove down that road, there was a woman driving a Range Rover who had just passed a passing place, but refused to reverse. She wound the window down and shouted that her vehicle was too big and she wasn't comfortable reversing, so I had to reverse around a blind corner for about maybe a quarter of a mile. Maybe she should just have bought a Mini. Anyway, the area surrounding Newton Stewart is both varied and spectacular. And to tell us about the festival, which runs from May the 9th to the 15th, is the chair, Joan Mitchell. Maybe you could explain a bit about Newton Stewart, where it is and what a wonderful place it is.
Okay, fine. Well, Newton Stewart is quite a small market town in Galloway, that's in southwest Scotland, and on the River Cree, nice location. And We market ourselves as the gateway to the Galloway Hills. But, I mean, as far as the festival is concerned, Newton Stewart is the hub, if you like. It's the centre. But we actually, our walks cover, well, can be a sort of 30-mile radius from Newton Stewart. So we cover a big area. It's a very pleasant area. It's a lovely area with a great mixture and diversity of landscapes and nature. So we have everything from the kind of remoter parts of the Galloway Hills, which are really quite wild and reasonably difficult to access, actually, in many cases. We don't have an awful lot of well-trodden paths, so the guided walks are really important. We have a very varied and lovely coastline, from cliffs to sandy beaches to shingle shores, and a lot of forest, a lot of woodland, and quite open and pleasant farmland. So it's a very diverse area.
And some other nice communities around there as well, places like Wigtown and Cucubri, and it's a lot of...
Yes, and the way we... The way we organise our festival is almost every walk is linear. There are one or two which are circular walks, but we lay on the transport. So it's all done by bus from using Newton Stewart as the base. So it allows people to do things that would be more difficult to do with their own transport. We very often end at some of these smaller towns and villages and have a cup of tea there and so on. So we try to include as many communities as we can.
I think one of my favourite walks, it's not exactly Newton Stewart, but one of my favourite walks anywhere is the walk from Kitford down to Rockcliffe.
Yes.
Which is kind of close to where you are.
Yes, yeah. We haven't had anything this year that goes quite that far. We've gone that far. Close to where you're talking about is Bulkeri. I don't know whether you've ever been there, but it's beautiful, very spectacular cliff top walk. And that's getting that far east.
How long has the festival been going? When did it start?
Well, it started in 2003. And with the exception of a couple of years at the time of lockdown and COVID when we didn't run, we've run every year since then. So, with many of the same people, I may say, the whole thing is local people volunteer run. We don't have any paid staff of any kind. So it's all volunteers. And some of us have been going since 2003. Yes.
Has it changed much over the years?
Yeah, inevitably. I mean, it started as just a weekend, long weekend. And by the time we got to, I think about 2008, possibly, was when we moved to the full 7 days and 30 guided walks at that time, plus evening events. Some of the things have been very constant. Our strenuous big walks are all led by Galloway Mountain Rescue Team, and they have been involved from the very start. And a lot of our moderate walks are led by the Wigtonshire Ramblers, who have also been involved, not quite as long, but for a long time as well. Plus other local people who are keen walkers lead some of the walks. So the personnel actually hasn't changed all that much. We've got older, and some of us have got less fit. And the people who come... We've had people who have come for all, well, maybe not quite all that time now, but have come for many years. But again, time takes its toll of that as well. So we're always looking for new people.
Where do people come from for the walks? Is it mostly within Dumfries and Galloway, or do you get them further afield than that?
No, that has altered a lot. It tends to be nowadays about 50-50. Dumfries and Galloway and outside. So the percentage of outside people has increased over time. And really, we get folk from all over the UK. quite a lot from north of England, because these are the folk that traditionally tend to come to this area on holiday. But no, we get them from all over the UK, and we get a few people from abroad. We've got a Finnish lady who, I think this will be her third year, she's come for the whole week. We don't get a lot of overseas people, but I think we've got somebody from New Zealand and somebody from the United States this year. So, yeah, nice mixture.
Do you have to change the walks around every year to keep it different, or are they similar?
We try to refresh things as much as we can. I mean, sometimes it may just be a case of doing the same route, but doing in the opposite direction. Mm. And we try to give a bit of a different theme to each festival and to vary it, you know, to vary it a bit. And we always manage to come up with some completely new routes. To be honest, I think one of the things that the walk leaders and volunteers really enjoy is trying to find new routes. And we always seem to manage to come up with something that's completely different. Yeah.
And the weather's always completely different as well.
Yes. The last few years we've been very lucky with weather, but yeah, you can't guarantee anything. However, at least that time in May is before the midges, and it's before the bracken's too much of a problem.
So do you have any themes for the walks this year?
I mean, this area, as you may well know, is part of a UNESCO biosphere, and we work very closely nowadays with the biosphere here. We use some of the biosphere guides, and we have a very close contact with the biosphere. So we're actually making a bit of a theme, the wild biosphere, so we're trying to highlight why this is regarded as such a good area for natural heritage and landscape and wildlife. So there's that kind of theme this year. We're featuring some of our oak woodlands with the bluebell displays, which are lovely at this time of year. Coastal birds and butterflies and plants. You know, red kites, we have a red kite extravaganza walks. So, and we're featuring what are the kind of core areas of the biosphere, which are, you know, the Merrick and the Galloway Hills. And the Silver Flow, which is a very important bog area, raised bog. So that's our theme for this year.
Is it suitable for everybody that walks? Do you allow dogs and children?
We don't allow dogs. That's something we took a decision on very early on, that we wouldn't have dogs. For various reasons, but mainly really we have a very good relationship with farmers and land managers. And I think the fact that we never have dogs, it really helps that. We try to give a range of walks that'll suit as many people as possible. I mean, our shortest walk is probably 4 miles. So, I mean, we have things that are really quite easy walk, town walk around Newton Stewart itself, another walk down at Gardliston, which is very nice and straightforward in the policies of Galloway House. And then we range right up to things where you really need to be a very fit hill walker to tackle. But we try to cater for as wide a range as we can, yes.
And are there costs for any of the walks?
Yes, we have to charge. Our costs, to be honest, are mainly to cover transport, because we provide all this transport. Most of the walks are £11. Some of them, where there's something special added on, if you like, are 15. The walks where we're using Galloway Mountain Rescue Team, we charge 15. And £5 of that goes to the Mountain Rescue Team, not as individuals, but for their fundraising. And we have one or two walks that have got something additional added. For instance, we've got a wild swimming. And, you know, that's a joint thing with somebody that is making their business at it. And a red kite one is also 15. But most of them come in at £11. And for the vast bulk, you're more or less getting a day's walking for that.
What about accommodation? If people aren't from the area, where is it easy to find places to stay in and around Newton Stewart?
Well, what I would advise people to do, actually, Jim, is to go on to the website Scotland Starts Here, which is a South of Scotland Destination Alliance website, which features us and gives accommodation options. I mean, there's also a Newton Stewart website, newtonstewart.org, which has accommodation listed on it. So that I would really recommend people to go through these channels.
Right. And for booking walks, you have a website?
You book on the website, which is walkfestnewtonstewart.com. We do all our bookings online. And I mean, there's other information, obviously, all the walks information, but background information as well.
Are there limits to the number of people on every walk?
Yes, from the point of view of the pleasure of the walk, if I can put it like that. I mean, most of the hill strenuous walks are accessed by minibus, so that puts a limit on the numbers right away. So there are maybe 12, 13 walkers. But the more moderate walks where we're using coaches, we can take up to 22. We could take more, but we don't go beyond that because we want to make it pleasant. You know, if you get too many people, it's not as pleasant. And quite a few of the walks we have extra guides on, people with speciality, you know, people who are naturalists or somebody that's we've got an archaeology walk, we've got a geology walk. So you have to keep it a reasonably small group for that to work.
But what are your favourite places to go around there for walking?
Oh, gosh. To be honest, there are so many. I mentioned Bulcairy. I think for a coastal walk, Bulcairy Cliffs is absolutely beautiful. Spectacular birds and spectacular geology. And, I mean, I'm very fond of home, can I tell you? I mean, we're farmers. We actually have a walk here. And that's in the Kirkmabreck Parish in the Creetown area. And we have lovely views across Wigton Bay and across the estuary of the Cree, and really varied as well. So there are a lot of very nice walks. We have walks also this year up in Carrick, you know, the Stinchar Valley. These two walks are actually fully booked already. So that's taken us right into Southern Ayrshire. We use that Colmonel kind area quite a bit, yeah.
You could probably do a 3-month walking festival with the number of walks there are.
Yeah, well, over the years, we've obviously piled up a good lot of walks. Yeah, we've no trouble finding variety.
The scenery in this part of Scotland is definitely varied. We have hills, rivers, waterfalls, beaches, lighthouses, nice villages, wildlife, and if you visit for the day, quite often four seasons of weather. I have to head back over to Fife this weekend for more filming, and I think the car knows its own way there by now. It's also that time of year when I never know what to wear, because it starts out cold and warms up during the day. It's also Mother's Day, at least it is in the UK, on Sunday, and it's a bit of a rip-off for mums everywhere because they lose an hour of their special day. I guess we can just give an IOU for that 1 hour of springing forward, or maybe we can just make Father's Day 23 hours in June to compensate. I guess it also means Easter is just around the corner, as is April the 1st, although I've never really been a big fan of April Fool's Day. So we will be back with more next week. I hope you enjoyed the walkingpost.com podcast, and I hope you have a great week with at least one nice walk. And until next time, happy trails! Walking Post from walkingpost.com is an Air Coastal Media Limited production.